welcome to Tabletop Tommies. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And in today's episode, we're talking about the armies of Slovakia, how to field them in bolt action. The rules for the armies of Slovakia are found in Case Blue from page 116 onwards. Although the national characteristics aren't there, they're actually found on page
133.
So, pro tip for you there, just skip ahead if you want to start with the national characteristics.
So the Slovakian army has four national characteristics in bolt action. The first one we have is take cover.
Mm-hmm.
This is to reflect how Slovak forces unofficially adopted a careful, cautious approach to combat. What it means then is that Slovak infantry or artillery units that have already acted in a turn may elect to change their order dice to down when fired upon. At the end of the turn, any unit that has changed its order dice to down must remain down for the next turn, and their order dice is not returned to the bag. However, Slovak infantry and artillery units that do retain their down order dice into the next turn do not remove D3 pins as usual.
Yeah, I really like this rule because it seems really powerful until you realize what's actually happening, because it's amazing to be able to shoot and then still go down. And then you realize that basically what you're doing is you're spending your next turn's activation in order to do that. And so it's great for your opponent to keep you down. But equally, if you're on the objective and you're planning to go down on next turn anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the only rules query I have with that, Phil, is how do you think that interacts with recce? Do you think I can do an escape move if I've already fired? Or is it exclusively for infantry? Oh, it's
infantry and artillery. Yeah. So you can't do it for vehicles, and you don't get infantry in the Slovak forces that have the recce escape move.
We do have, spoilers alert, cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they would be able to recce. Now, I think because this just says go down, I don't think they'd be able to use this to recce.
Put me on the spot, I'd say no.
Yeah, because the recce isn't going down, is it? It's just that you go down at the end of your recce. It's a different reaction altogether, is my reading.
Yeah, so the escape move is when you haven't already activated and you are using your order dice for that turn to do the escape move. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that, you get put down.
Yeah, the only reason that I thought it might... The only reason I brought it up is because obviously when you're in ambush or haven't activated yet, you can opt to go down in the same way you can opt to do an escape move. But I'm going to say that they can't do their escape move if they've already fired.
I'm going to lean towards that.
Finally, agreement.
Okay, the second one we have is reliable weaponry.
Nice.
So this means that Slovak LMGs cost 5 points less than usual. So for example, adding an LMG to an infantry squad costs 15 points rather than 20. And these price changes are already reflected in the unit profile. So you can't take the unit profile from Case Blue and then take another 5 off. It's already included there.
Yeah, it's nice enough. I'm not sure it makes it amazing, but...
No, I mean, Gary Morgan may have a view on this because LMGs are the way forward. And now that you're getting a 5-point reduction, you might see him at a UK event with some Slovaks of LMGs.
The problem is he's been getting them for free with the shits and squads, hasn't he, with theatre? So.
Yeah, it won't seem as much of a reduction if you've been just taking your free one with your shitsons.
Exactly, yeah. And then the next national characteristic, sir,
is jury-rigged machinery.
This one was interesting because I always thought it was jerry-rigged, but I think it's actually two different expressions that mean slightly different things.
Okay. In the game terms, what this means is that Slovak vehicles ignore one pin when modifying their morale value during an order test.
Mm.
The vehicle must still test without modifiers if it has a single pin on it when issued an order.
I'd rather you didn't have to do the test, but it's not bad, is it?
If you've got to take the test, then great to do it with one fewer than you actually have. So the final one is limited officers, and this reflects how, due to a lack of officers, the Slovak army relied heavily on its NCOs. So what this means in game terms is that once per game, as soon as an officer has been removed as a casualty, the NCO of the nearest infantry squad within 12 inches of the officer when he became a casualty takes over command of the reinforced platoon. That NCO gains the benefits of a second lieutenant, so he gets the +1 to all order and morale tests to his own unit and those within 6 inches. He remains with his original squad. The officer is still removed as a casualty, so would still count as an order dice being taken. And the newly promoted officer is also granted the U-Men snap to action ability.
The French have the same rule, basically, in a different half, don't they?
Free French have it in the Northwest Europe selector from Western Desert. Yeah.
Nice. I mean, it's not a bad rule.
No.
A bit situational, I think, when you really need that. Again, I imagine objectives games where the unit that's within 12 of your officer has gone down on the objective already. They're staying down next turn. They now have the officer with them to boost their morale.
Once the actual officer's been killed. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a nice little perk, that.
I have used it in a game with the French, and it's been a bonus to have, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a nice summary of all the national characteristics there, actually, that they're all just a nice little bonus to have, and none of them are sort of game-breaking or going to change anything hugely.
Mm.
It's just they're all little nice things that I think you're going to have to sort of find a nice synergy with as you go through.
And none of them are negative either.
Yeah, I think they realised the mistake with that when... yeah, I think they've been burnt by that before.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the units then, Johnny.
Yeah, should we start with the stuff that's fairly standard this time? There's a bit of a change. So let's start all the way at the end of the transports.
Mm-hmm. I reckon you're going to get some form of Jeep or car. You're going to get a truck. It probably hasn't got an MMG, which you're going to comment on. And you're going to get some form of artillery tow or tractor.
Basically, bang on. I mean, the specifics... slightly different, but generally you hit the nail on the head. So you do get a field car, bigger than a Jeep, carries 5 men, 25 points regular. Yep. You do get a truck, 39 points regular, as usual. Neither of those can have a machine gun, but you've got two options there. And then you do get the tractor, 15 points, soft skin.
Yeah.
Additionally, though, the thing that you missed is they've added the horse-drawn limber to the Slovak entries.
Okay, so it's appearing as actually sort of part of the army list, which actually appears as within some of the army list already, not just as a generic option, but as a this is part of the armies of option.
Yeah, it's in a lot. I think it's in quite a few of the supplements as a generic unit that can be added to every single army. I think they've just added this in case you don't have those other supplements. If are starting bolt action specifically with Slovakia, you're ready to go.
You're also probably in the minority, but fair play if you do that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, maybe it's if you've gone down the club and there's already one of every other nation being played and you're just looking through the back catalogue for something interesting.
So we've done our transport. Are we going to see a wide variety of armoured vehicles?
I think the way that you phrased the question implies you know the answer to that question.
I am in suspense along with our listeners.
I imagine you have a suspicion that there's not going to be that many options.
Possibly.
And you'd be correct. There's basically one of each. So you get an armoured car, you get a tank.
Nice.
The armoured car is actually pretty tasty.
Okay.
It's recce.
Yeah.
It's armour 7. Yeah. It isn't open. It gets two light machine guns, one on the turret, one on the hull.
Okay.
So that's all pretty good. And it has a really interesting special rule, which is that it can go through rough ground, but only at an advance rate and only 9 inches. And it only gets a single 90-degree pivot. So basically what it's saying is it can go through rough ground as though it's tracked.
It's tracked, yeah. Okay.
Which is an interesting route, especially when you combine it with that recce, because it means you can sort of reverse through the woods, as it were.
With a pivot.
With a pivot, if you need it, to make sure you get to the other side. So that's your armoured car. You do also get a tank, which this one isn't as tasty, I'd say, Phil.
Okay.
So let's see what you think of it. It's armour 8, 135 points.
Mm-hmm.
You get a light anti-tank gun, coax MMG, hull-mounted MMG. It's basically a Stuart, isn't it? But
Without the DACA, yeah.
Yeah, you don't get the option to add any more machine guns. But other than that, it's basically a Stuart.
You don't get the thin sides or the vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's tidy. It's effectively, what, a 35T, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The one benefit to it is if you do decide to run a Slovakian armoured platoon, you can actually make this a command vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually ditch the anti-tank gun, make it the command vehicle, and save yourself 25 points.
Mm-hmm.
So for 110 points, you've got a command vehicle with two machine guns.
Okay.
And I imagine you'd use the same model because I don't know the specific tank. It's the LTVZ35/38. But most of the command tanks, you keep a barrel on it, don't you? Just because you don't want to distinguish the command tank from the other tanks to make yourself a target.
Hmm. It's interesting that they don't get the 3080, which is a Czech-built, Czech-designed tank, which the Germans get in the early war period.
That is interesting, actually, that. And I don't know why that is. I wish I did.
I've got the answer. It's that after Germany annexed Czechoslovakia, then the production of the 3080 started. So actually, the Slovak army didn't really have access to it because it was being produced for Germany.
Interesting. And I realised, I don't think I said the name of the armoured car. It's the OAVZ-30. So there you go. So not a huge amount of choice there in that section, but at least you got one of each.
Yep. okay, we're going to get a big selection of artillery, anti-aircraft, and anti-tank guns, aren't we? I can feel it.
Yeah, you actually do get more of a choice than you'd imagine.
Oof.
You've got your standard medium and light howitzers. I won't dwell. Mm-hmm. You've got a light AT gun, medium AT gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the anti-aircraft gun section is okay. where you find the fun.
Right.
So you get a light autocannon on a rotating platform, which is always nice to have it say explicitly. So I think the FAQ says that if the model has a rotating platform,
you can rotate it.
But then you can get different types of the model and it gets a bit...
Mm.
And so it's quite nice here. They've said the 20mm version, it has a rotating platform. So that's nice and clear. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's not really that noteworthy.
No.
The bit that is noteworthy mm-hmm. is you actually get an 88.
That's cool.
I'm not sure it is the German 88. It's basically an 8.8 centimeter gun, mm-hmm. flak, exact same rules as the Germans, 160 points regular. You can add a spotter. It's got versatile, so it can fire as a medium howitzer. The fluff in Case Blue says, by August 1941, Slovakia had been able to add a couple of the powerful 8.8 centimeter flak guns to their mobile division, which makes me think that they've bought these from Germany.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So it's actually a really nice include, I think, when you don't have much anti-tank elsewhere on the list.
Yeah, and obviously because it's the 88, you can fire it as effectively as a howitzer, can't you, as well as a direct firing
super heavy
anti-tank gun, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And again, you're getting the 7-man crew, so it's like having an extra squad on the table.
Hmm.
So, would recommend. And also, if you're starting the army from fresh, it's a good way to spend about 20% of your points to take a veteran one with a spotter.
Yeah.
So that's your artillery section in summary. Anything that's caught your eye?
I mean, it does what it needs to do. You've got some howitzers, you've got some AT, you've got some anti-tank, and you've got the AA. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the flak's a nice addition because mm-hmm. otherwise it's just a bit sort of bland.
Sure.
You'll never guess what's in the infantry support section. I'll give you a stab at it because I think you'll be able to get all of them.
No flamethrower.
Correct.
No HMG.
Correct.
Everything else you'd expect to see.
So go ahead. What are you expecting to see?
Medium machine gun, light mortar, medium mortar sniper.
Yep, exactly. So that's exactly it. And all the regular veteran sees.
Mm-hmm.
Sniper can't be inexperienced, so it's basically the most standard it could be. The only thing that I'm not seeing that I was expecting to see is an anti-tank rifle.
That's true. Yeah, I missed that one off, to be fair.
Yeah, and not for I know of any historical reason why like the field did a lot or anything. It's just I imagine nearly every nation at that point in history had a few in the stockpile ready to go in case.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit of a surprise that's not in there, but there you go.
So we haven't had massive variety so far. Therefore, you're going to find the ability to customize your army through infantry choices.
Indeed, yeah.
Am I correct, Johnny?
Absolutely correct. So much so. Before we get to it, I'm going to really tease it. Yeah. And I'll quickly just cap over the HQ choices, which are unsurprisingly very standard. All the officers at all the veterancies, mm-hmm. so second lieutenant all the way up to major, inexperienced all the way up to veteran, medic, regular veteran,
mm-hmm.
and a forward artillery observer, but no air.
Okay, yep, fair enough.
So there we go. Now to the fun part, the bit we've all been waiting for.
I'm ready.
So what do you reckon we're going to get in here?
Something inexperienced, something regular, something veteran,
mm-hmm.
something which is assaulty, mm-hmm. and hopefully something which is stubborn.
Nice. I mean, you're basically on the money. The thing that's interesting in this one, I think, compared to the other miners, is you know how, say, like the partisans we did last, where it goes an inexperienced squad, a regular squad, and a veteran squad.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more modern books, you've got a single entry with all three veterancies. This is aligned with the more modern books. So you get a rifle section, 6 to 13 men,
mm-hmm.
and at all those three veterancies, 15-point light machine gun, can take bicycles.
Nice, cool.
But yeah, they've basically combined all those three into a single entry.
Yeah.
It's fairly standard squad.
It's fairly standard, but they can be up to 13 men,
yeah.
which is slightly different. You don't often see that in terms of full-size squads being 13 outside of, you know, Japanese being 15 and so on.
Yeah. It is a bit of a quirk, and I'm not sure the historical reasons for it, really. Other than that, I think they just organized the infantry like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I imagine that's their how they organize the platoons in order of battles and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the next one is an engineer section.
Oh, do you get a flamethrower?
No.
Oh, man.
And it's very much a thematic engineer section. It's there for your custom missions where you've got, like, minefields and barbed wire. Sort of six men up to 13 again, and you can have an LMG and anti-tank grenades.
Okay.
So it's basically the rifle section, but only at veteran.
Yeah.
And you can use it to clear minefields, etc.
Okay. Nice.
I think that one's one we're not going to see at generic events. We're going to see that at like narrative gameplay,
yeah,
aren't we?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You do have, now this might pique your interest, you can have some motorcycles if you'd like.
Yes, please.
15 points, though, for regular.
Well, if I've burnt half or a fifth of my army on the flak, I'm going to run out of points. So, yeah, might have to cut back on the flak, but there we go.
Yeah, regular veteran,
mm-hmm.
LMG anti-tank grenades. And again, this one, though, is only 4 to 8 men.
Okay.
So I don't really have much to say about that squad, if I'm honest.
No, it is cool, though, when you do see... The event I was at recently in Cardiff, somebody did bring early war Germans mounted on motorbikes, the squad, rather than the armoured car version. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, they are really cool. It's just such a shame that the rules mean that, because you can't fire when you're on there.
No.
I don't think you can charge either.
You lose them when you dismount, yeah.
Yeah, you're basically paying for a transport that disappears, which isn't bad. It's just generally those points are better spent elsewhere, I always find.
Mm-hmm. Like your veteran flak.
Yeah, exactly. Take a second veteran flak.
Maybe the next unit?
Maybe. It's this one will be close to your heart, I think. It's a dragoon group.
Oh, cool.
So they're on horseback. You're paying 15 points a man for the privilege, but they are veterans, so it's only 2 points a horse you're paying. The NCO can have a submachine gun. However, they have the classic cavalry special rule that some of the miners get, that Hungarians, for example, get this rule, where they're not designed to be fighting, they're designed to be doing recon and stuff. And so
they're
not allowed to voluntarily move into contact with the enemy while they're mounted. And so they don't get to use that tough fighter ability.
That was going to be my question. So do they still get tough fighter, but they can't voluntarily initiate combat?
Exactly, because they're on the horse, they're still tough fighters, but they're never allowed to charge while on horseback. And so the only way you're going to get to use that special rule is if you can...
Somebody charges you.
Yeah, if you can lure someone to charge you. So maybe you're on the objective.
Yeah.
But then you're not going to get, I don't know, because you can't go down on your horse.
Yeah, yeah.
You're probably better off putting a normal infantry squad on that objective. The big benefit is they don't get -1 to arrive from reserve. And so if you do decide to hold them back or put them in outflank for some reason to race across the table or to counter the opponent.
But they have cavalry carbines, don't they? So from horseback, they can only fire as pistols for 6 inches.
Yeah.
So they can't charge and initiate combat. They can't act like Cossacks where they can fire rifles normally from horseback. Yeah, let's gloss over them and move on to the next one.
Yeah. I mean, they don't count as moving when they shoot the pistols, which is nice. And so, I mean, at least... They're slightly better in their army book version than the Hungarians originally were, because they didn't even have carbines originally.
Okay.
And so they could neither charge nor shoot from horseback, and so they really were bad.
Yeah.
And luckily they've added in the FAQ that you can now. They come standard with carbines.
Okay.
So
yeah, I'm not really rushing to model them.
No. But here's one that you did predict, which is your stubborn squad.
Nice.
So this Slovakian army actually did have paratroopers trained by Germany.
Okay, cool.
And so they've got a lot of, they're basically equipped with German weapons, but they're paratroopers. And so in bolt action, what that means is they're stubborn. Because they've got the German weapons and equipment, again, you get a few more options. So you're paying 5 points extra on a normal squad because you're stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 to 10 men are 14 points each. You can have up to 3 SMGs. You can have your light machine gun, you can have your anti-tank grenades.
Okay.
So I think that's a tasty little squad, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the unit where you can take the most SMGs so far. Because we haven't had any tough fighters, have we?
And spoilers, I think this might be the most SMGs we'll see in the whole army.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know what I'm going to look at if I were to build a Slovak army in terms of the main unit, yeah.
I think so, yeah. Well, we've got one more for you. Let's see. So this is the final infantry choice you could take.
Mm-hmm.
You could have some partisans.
Cool.
My one complaint here with this squad is, yes, they exist, but they haven't given them anything to make them unique. Because basically you can have them as inexperienced or regular, 5 to 20 men, like in the partisans book.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the only things they can have is a light machine gun, anti-tank grenades, and they don't get any sort of quirky...
Yes, and you can't take them as pistolerios.
No, just rifles.
Yeah, okay.
And for me, it would be nice if they'd been given some sort of... You know, when the Canadians have hate the SS, where in close quarters they count as fanatic, something like that where it's like, these guys are so... determined to fight, that they've joined a partisan movement. Therefore, when they're fighting this specific enemy, they get this perk.
I think
that would have been a really nice little rule to add on that really wouldn't have changed much, but it would have given you a reason to run them over just a normal rifle section.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's all your squads. I think you're right. I think the paratroopers are the way to go, aren't they?
Yeah.
So as per Case Blue, you can just build the Slovakian army as per the generic reinforced platoon you would find in the bolt action rulebook.
Mm-hmm.
However, I believe there's a couple of theatre selectors. Is that right, Phil?
So there are a couple of theatre selectors on page 164, and the first one is interestingly called Slovak Generic Reinforced Platoon. The reason I say interestingly is because it does restrict what you can take. So there are certain sections you have to take as part of the core, but you can't choose from all of the possible selections. For example, you can't take the Bourne paratroopers or the engineers. And then when it comes to your optional infantry, it's 0-4. Whereas in the bolt action rulebook generic platoon, it's always 0-3 at this point. But effectively, that platoon, as it says in the book, it's a collection of Slovak combat units from throughout their conflicts. So it is your vanilla theatre selector to represent Slovakia on the Eastern Front at this time.
Yeah. So this one, I think you can't separate the word Slovak from generic there. It's the Slovak generic reinforced platoon rather than just the Slovak generic reinforced platoon.
Or the generic reinforced platoon for the Slovaks.
Yeah, indeed. So that's one of their theatre options that isn't overly exciting because it's basically just a generic reinforced platoon. Do they have more?
Yeah, so they have the Slovak Mobile Division reinforced platoon.
No.
Which was the newly independent state of Slovakia's primary contribution to the invasion of the Soviet Union. It was involved in almost continuous fighting from June 1941 to March 43. Suffered relatively light casualties due to the cautious manner in which they were used. As you can imagine from the title, it's quite mobile. So, for example, your compulsory sections can either be the rifle sections or dragoon or the motorcycle reconnaissance sections. So if you really wanted to, you could have a couple of cavalry units in there as your dragoons, as your infantry, or a couple of those motorcycle reconnaissance sections we saw. And then when it comes to the rest of the options, it's your usual 0-1 and so on. Your 0-4 for your infantry, it's rifles, dragoons, motorcycles, and 0-1 engineer. So you can't take paratroopers and you can't take the partisans in this theatre selector.
Really quite bland, these two theatre selectors, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shame because, like, that's a great way to add flavour to an army that otherwise is quite bland.
Now, I imagine when Alex Smith, who wrote the book, obviously, he must have found enough material and enough things worthy of interest to actually put together the Slovak army as a standalone army. Otherwise, that wouldn't be appearing in Case Blue. On the flip side, their contribution, and this is not to be, you know, disparaging towards Slovakia's contribution to World War II, their contribution probably isn't as, well, not probably, it wasn't as significant as other nations, and therefore the ability in bolt action to really flesh out a lot of variety is maybe not there. So yeah, it's a bit of a case of, do you include them in the first place as a separate entity, which is what's happened, but in doing so, you end up with people like you and I criticising the lack of variety in their units and their theatre selectors. Or do you not include them at all, in which case you've just ignored, you know, a significant, albeit small, contribution to World War II in terms of the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, and as you say, it's only a very small part of a very big book. And so it's not like we've written an entire armies of book for this one nation. And so,
yeah,
in fairness, you would need to commit a lot of time to do it in a lot of detail. And so I think you've got a nice middle ground here where it's probably unfair to say it is bland, but at the same time, I guess it's just not that exciting because there's, I imagine it's one of those things where because we've got so much choice in other nations, but if this was sort of, if you're brand new to the game and all the nations were at this sort of level of variety, you wouldn't feel hard done by.
No, if you look at the actual amount of text on the page, it's in line with, if not more than, you know, Belgium and Norway and so on. So it just very much feels like one of those nations that could have appeared in the armies of Italy and the Axis, for example.
Yeah, indeed. And speaking of sort of their contribution to the war, one of the things that I did learn in preparation for this is that they were involved in the invasion of Poland. And so they actually sent three infantry divisions, obviously working under the German army command, Army Group South, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I think it was, three infantry divisions and motorized group. So that was quite interesting. And then I think when they actually, when Germany invaded the USSR, I believe they didn't join the original invasion. I think the German commanders weren't really either that bothered or that keen on the Slovakian army being involved in the original invasion. But I think they did send some forces to join after the initial invasion.
Presumably that was they weren't certain of the ability of the Slovakian troops to perform with a level of confidence from their German allies.
Yeah, I would think so. And I imagine it's also just the quantity of troops they're supplying.
Mm.
You've then got to kit them out. You're then creating separate supply chains if they've got different weapons, I imagine. I think, they didn't ask them to come along, but I think the Slovakians just joined along, which I imagine is probably because they were expecting to be rewarded in return after a successful campaign.
So, if you are inspired to take a bolt-action Slovakian army, you may be wondering how you're going to model them. And there are some 3D print options out there. I think it's Eskice Print, the design studio. You often see them. E-S-K-I-C-E.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, so they are a significant bolt-action 3D design print studio. You often see them on eBay and Etsy. They do a range of Slovakian troops. I say a range, it's not massive, but there are some. It seems, though, that generally the way to do it is to use the Italian models and to trim the rim of the helmet, because the Slovakian helmet drops straight down, whereas the Italian helmets slightly dip out and curve outwards.
Yeah, it's kind of quite similar to the German airborne helmet, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not as
shaped.
German airborne helmet always reminds me of a Christmas pudding. You know the plastic tub you get in a Christmas pudding. They always remind me of that. These are slightly more angular whilst being rounded at the same time. This is where a podcast, as opposed to a YouTube episode, fails, because you can't see me gesticulating and trying to show the shape of the helmet.
Or even we could just show a picture.
That would be even better, yes.
Maybe that can be the image we share when we...
the helmet.
We'll share an image on Facebook
of
the two types, of all the different types of helmets alongside each other. And you can decide which one's the closest.
I have seen other people suggest using the Japanese helmet. Problem with that is obviously if you're using Warlord Games Japanese, their faces are attached to their helmets, and the Japanese faces for Warlord Games are very much Asian faces as opposed to European faces.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite similar to the British airborne helmet.
Yeah, but the British airborne helmet is always modelled with the scrim net and the camo on it, isn't it?
Quite often. I imagine I haven't got any airborne from Warlord, I don't believe, British airborne. And so I can't guarantee, but I would imagine there's one or two without the netting.
I think from memory, they're either the berets or their scrim net.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So, TLDR, get the Italian box set, trim off the bottom of the helmets.
Nice.
Or get 3D prints.
Fab. Sorry, I'm just quickly Googling it. Warlords British Airborne. Yeah, they're all wearing berries or got vegetation on their heads.
Exactly, yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I wonder, actually, They must have worn berets as well.
As in the Slovakians?
Yeah, yeah. The Slovakians must have had berets.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you would you could potentially just do them in the berets, I suppose.
Maybe, yeah. It depends on what they were like.
Mm-hmm.
Should we wrap this bit up?
Yeah.
So, yep, Slovakian army. It's nice to see another army in bolt action. It's been nice how over, you know, some of the campaign books, they are introducing either a whole brand new army like this or a very fleshed out option like the Free French, for example, or like the Commando option you got in D-Day, the SS options, the Fallschirmjäger options you got in the D-Day books as well. So it is nice to give you a bit of variety. I'm not sure you're going to see them very often. I'm definitely not going to sit here and go, this has piqued my interest, I'm going to go and get a Slovakian army. If you do play Slovakian armies, do let us know. Genuinely, actually, I'm interested to find out people that do and why they do. But it's a no for me, but it's cool to see it.
Yeah, first one in a while that I'm going to say, I'm not interested in building this one.
Okay, so unlike the Norwegians and the Greeks.
Norwegians, Greeks, partisans.
Partisans.
I've probably got enough forces now. This one, it just lacks a unique selling point for me.
Fair enough.
But there we go. I look forward to seeing all of your armies on the social media, etc. As ever, thank you for listening.
Do please like, share and subscribe.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.